This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Vox Markets. I am John Heumann, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Chris Von Jacko, Chief Executive of Polarians, to talk about your recent strategy update. How are you doing, Chris?
Great, thanks. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No, great to have you on. So it's been a very, very busy time since you joined last June, I think it was. Real progress on the regulatory and commercial front, and it provides an enormously solid foundation for the next phase of growth for Polarian that you've outlined in today's strategy update. Talk through what's been going on over the last 6 months ago before we come on to the details of what you've talked about.
Yeah, great. Thanks for the question. I really appreciate it. So yeah, I joined at the end of June, and then about 6 months ago, I say we outlined five pillars that the company was going to focus on to drive long-term value creation. And we've had some really strong, and I would say steady progress in each of the areas. So I'll just kind of outline at a high level each of the five. So the first was driving utilization. It's essentially key for the business, right? We had our first two conversions of research centers with Cincinnati Children's and University of Missouri. And driving this clinical utilization was a new process for them as well as for Polarian. So it was a little bit slower, I think, in the beginning, in large part due to the centers getting comfortable with the overall process and going clinical. But in recent months, we've picked up steam and with the drive to get them, you know, somewhere between the 3 to 4 scans per week. This is really, I would say, been an invaluable process of understanding, you know, how we will better scale the business going forward. The second thing is on growing the user base, right? We did make an announcement in December of our first de novo site, which means it was our first academic medical center outside of our current research centers. So that was great news. And then we broaden the reimbursement coverage, right, is our third pillar, really around reimbursement, which is so key in a technology like ours. We received the new code, and that new code ended up yielding about a total of about $1,300 for Medicare reimbursement, which I think we've stated before in the past. Medicare is that safety net for older adults, 65 and older, which is great. That's sort of a first process that you do when you're going through the reimbursement process in the U.S. And, you know, that combined with the existing codes really yields positive procedural economics for the medical centers with about, if they're doing about 3 scans per week, which is great. The fourth pillar is expanding our total addressable market, right? And we're key on that. And I would say, we're on track. There's two specific areas there. We're on track to make it a submission to the FDA in late July to expand our current labeling minimum age from 12 years old down to 6. And we believe this process could take, after we make the submission, somewhere between 6 to 9 months. Likewise, we continue to refine our plans around following our FDA meeting that we had back in October for a future trial to expand the market to what we call gas exchange. And then the last thing is really on partnerships. And I think we've done a lot around that. Obviously, our first relationship with Philips, and we continue to expand that and look at other potential value creation partnerships.
Yeah, so you have really been very, very busy in your first six or seven or eight months in the job. Yeah. Extraordinary progress. I mean, Chris, you talked about, you know, getting physicians comfortable with using what is a new approach, a new technology. But you've got a lot of experience in the medical device industry. Talk us about your experience and how you're bringing that to bear at Polarian, and overcoming the challenges. And there are enormous challenges of bringing a technology to this, such as to the market.
Yeah, John, without a doubt. So yeah, I've been doing this for 30 years, you know, bringing new and important life-changing medical technologies to the market. I'd say early in my career, I had a lot of success, and through that success, I actually sold five companies. And I believe today I'm even more experienced now that I've also experienced some challenges along the way as I took on more complex roles where I've discovered that the product maybe just didn't work like we'd intended, or didn't have alignment maybe within the board on a correct vision. But that's totally not the case within Polarian. And I now, you know, the benefits, I benefit from basically the adversities that I had. And while each of the experiences have been slightly different, there are more important benefits that I see pretty clearly with Polarian today. So we have a revolutionizing imaging product with a lot of science and clinical data behind it. That is huge. We have a very large unmet need in lung imaging with our first indication, where what we do is we measure and visualize lung ventilation, or basically it's where the air goes and doesn't go within the lungs, and we can see that. And an enormous market potential with our future expansion into measuring and visualizing how that oxygen or air exchanges from the lungs into the bloodstream. Both the first one, ventilation, which is our first approval, and gas exchange are vital functions of the lung. And the many physicians we speak with automatically see, literally see, the benefits. The business model with Polarian System, I would say, is really not new to me, with our capital component, with the benefit of having our combined recurring revenue of our gas blend, right, with each imaging exam. So both of those components are really important and are supported, as I mentioned earlier, which is unique to me, is that in this early days, they're supported by excellent positive procedural economics for the hospitals, which is great with our reimbursement. You know, this being the case, I say we still need to go through the normal course of blocking and tackling. Sorry, that's an American football reference. But basically, the fundamental process of bringing new technologies to the market and developing the market. And of course, things take a little longer than anyone wants, but I would say I'm extremely happy and confident with our current progress.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you've got the experience to, as you say, the experience to get through the challenges that, as you say, these technologies face. Let's talk about the technology, the XenoView technology, in more detail, and the opportunity in detail as well. You know, it has the potential to be a game changer, as you say, for unmet diagnostic needs, and there's lots more development potential to grow the addressable market. Let's perhaps talk about the technology in action. I mean, you know, that's obviously the proof of the pudding, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely, John. I love to talk about the technology. It's and mostly because it's really easy to understand the fundamental benefits. You know, essentially, we're bringing the power and benefits of MRI, you know, MR imaging into the lung space. That's not been done before, and that's really exciting to me and drives me. So people may know, but they actually may not know today. You know, I've been doing work in MR, you know, in my undergrad and graduate studies, but and then in my complete career, but they may not know that MR is not used today routinely in the lungs. And it's really because MRI is based on water. It's imaging water. And there's not a lot of water in the lungs. That is where our technology with the special xenon gas comes in, right? It lights up in the MR image, whether it's in the airways of the lung or it's going through the lungs into the bloodstream. And this all happens basically within a single 10-second breath hold, which is vastly different than most people are familiar with. So people that are familiar with MR, they may think of like, you know, being in the MR for like 45 minutes to an hour. With us, it's 10 seconds. So importantly, this safe and non-radioactive xenon gas that we use travels the exact same path as oxygen, right? So which provides clinicians with data and a picture to see what they haven't actually ever seen before. So our first application, we talked about it, which is called ventilation, or really the ability for clinicians to quantify and see where in the airways is either getting oxygen or not getting oxygen. So most people understand like this is particularly important to patients with maybe like severe asthma, COPD, or cystic fibrosis, where you're getting that blockage within the lungs. But let's take a totally different example, something unique like a lung transplant. So someone who has diminishing capacity with their lungs from, say, like having COPD for a long time or cystic fibrosis, they may need a transplant. Once and that's typically once they've actually exhausted all of the options. However, today the potential for lung rejection is about 50%, which is not really great odds, right? And that's really where our technology comes in. That rejection actually starts in the form of inflammation, and it's what actually prevents the oxygen getting through that small airways, right? Well, what I was saying is that inflammation actually starts in the small airway, and that prevents the oxygen of getting in and transmitting over into the bloodstream. So unfortunately, today, normal lung function diagnostics is insensitive, and standard of imaging like CT can't see these very small structures or small airways, and it can go undetected, to the point where it's too late. However, with our technology, it's more sensitive and can really illuminate the hidden disease in these small airways much earlier in order to provide early intervention that could be life-saving for these patients. And there are a number of large pharma companies really focused on new therapeutics for these patients. So getting that early indication of what's going on is really life-changing for these patients. And then, of course, I won't go into gas exchange here, but obviously, this brings enormous potential with both what's called interstitial lung disease and cardiopulmonary disease, say for pulmonary hypertension.
Yeah, absolutely game-changing technology, as you've mentioned already, and as you say, in use in two live environments right now. So great technology, but obviously the big challenge is getting it in more clinical settings. How do you drive take-up? Obviously, the reimbursement, Medicare, Medicaid helps. What else have you got planned to really drive uptake?
As I mentioned before, the fundamentals are what we call like block and tackling. It's really the who, like sort of targeting the right groups, right? In this case, what we've talked about this, or I've talked about this, publicly, we're really focused on the 100 top, pulmonary academic centers, and then gaining access within those centers to the right physicians. So that's sort of the who. Then there's the what and the why, which is really educating them on the technology and why they should believe us, right? And when we have this momentum, this is where we shift to a financial discussion. And in this case, really, when we're talking about putting in new imaging technology, it's with radiology, and they look at what's called like a return on investment calculation, right? And that is really supported with our strong procedure economics. So when we got our code and the came up and running in October, that was huge. It really changed a lot of the discussions for us. That Medicare reimbursement, it's great. And what we've actually been able to do in the recent months is we've been validating the payment of that at our two centers, which is great. So we have that now validation, not only in Medicare, but we've also validated it in a few cases in private pay patients, which are the patients that are less than 65. So that's all fantastic news. Along the way, and I've said this a few times as well, each center has its own process and its own story, and we key in on those individual, limitations that may arise. And sometimes we can have a positive impact to accelerate the process. For example, on the first de novo center that I talked about earlier, right, that we announced in December, it was the timing of their budget and the process, which was really the limitation there. And we were able to work with an external financial partner to sort of bridge that gap. So we're always looking at ways to accelerate this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess another way that you could accelerate, the take-up, the routes to market is, as you've already alluded to, partnerships. You've already been working with Philips. There must be a lot more out there that you can go after.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Partnerships are so important to a young company, right? They help us in many, many different ways. Obviously, they offer, validation, credibility, and reach, right? This is, why the Philips, I would say the partnership was just such a significant milestone for the company, early on. They further offer us basically access, right? Clinicians and administrators know Philips. They may not know Polarian in these early days, right? This is a huge help for us. But more importantly, Philips knows the customers, right? Yesterday, in fact, I was on a call with a brand new opportunity with Philips, right? We were addressing, we basically were presenting together to one of their key customers, and that is such a huge help. All of this allows us to accelerate the process and really keep our OpEx down, which as a small company, obviously, is really important in these early days. I'm so proud of the progress that we made with Philips thus far, and really excited for the future and what it will bring. But as you mentioned, right, we're talking to other key potential partners, and it's really a central component of our five pillars.
Makes a lot of sense to do that. The gatekeepers, I guess, of the industry, as it were. Fantastic plans, fantastic vision, fantastic technology. To get this, potential unlocked, you're raising additional capital. Talk us through the financing needs, to really unlock that potential, and tell us where you expect that to get you in terms of, the commercials, the financials that we can expect in the years ahead.
Yeah, sure. So I think that we obviously put it into that strategic update that just got launched, right? We plan to launch financing sometime in Q2. I think it was noted in the RNS that we put out as well that we've been able to extend our runway considerably, which has offered us some flexibility in the timing, which was great. I mean, that's one of the things I typically bring in when I'm coming into new companies because I know how hard it is to raise money, and we need to actually spend the money on value. So been working really closely with my CFO, Chuck, on that, and it's been great. But the focus of the fundraise is to bring in, basically the necessary funds to expand our US commercialization efforts of the existing product, right, with ventilation, and really while preparing us for our future indication expansion into what we call gas exchange, right, that I mentioned obviously before earlier. I think I want to be clear also that we are so laser focused right now in the US market. And this is really because that is where the approval is. And combined with our great, financial story that we have with customers with this new reimbursement code, and focusing in a small company is just so vital, right, to make sure you're putting money where you're going to have the greatest return. That being said, like outside the US market, places like the UK, or even all of Europe could come from a potential partnership. So, this, I guess all being said, I'm truly enthusiastic that both NuChem Isotopes and Bracco understand the opportunity that we have in front of us and have a shared vision for Polarian. And I would say that their continued support, commitment, and trust are both significant and validating to other potential investors.
Indeed. As I mentioned, Chris, an extraordinary 8 months of progress since you took the hot seat, taking this incredible product through to commercial success, and more importantly of all, saving patient lives. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate your time.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.